All right. A number of you listening have certainly acquired the book, The Last Harvest, read it, talked about it. You've heard Damien on the program many times discussing it. The book is written by Lucien Mars, published by Damien. And it is a book that you don't forget when you read it. You don't forget it. It's kind of one of those books that makes a real impression, and it stays. And then you start to think, wow, yeah, I read about that in The Last Harvest. We're seeing more and more things coalesce now and come together. So, Damien, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back, Jeff.
My pleasure. The book, I don't know how much, I can't quantify the amount of things that it's really presenting that have, we're headed in so many areas in ways that the book laid out. How, does that still amaze you? The book was very portentous.
It's amazing, but no, it doesn't amaze me because I understand the wisdom that's in the book.
Tell us about the wisdom that's in the book. How would you quantify it at this point? You've been around it longer than anybody except Lucien Mars.
Some people would say that wisdom is one of the most important things to pursue because it helps you to exercise your free will in such a way that you have favorable consequences resulting from it as opposed to unfavorable ones.
Right. I always thought of wisdom as the distillation of facts. However those facts distill, however they fall into place in the matrix, then you have a platform of wisdom to draw on. Because a fact by itself is not wisdom. It's a fact. Anyway, go ahead.
Right, yeah, I think that some people would say knowledge is power. I would always say that knowledge applied is a little bit more powerful than just having the knowledge. So with wisdom, again, the end goal of it is to be able to make correct decisions or decisions
right.
that would be in the
right.
best interest. And yeah, so I think that's important to note. And naturally, they also say that if you don't know your history, you don't know who you are. So, of course, one of the great things about The Last Harvest is that it tells the actual history of human beings. And when you know who you are and where you came from, again, it becomes a little bit easier to make decisions. You don't go around in a haze of wonder, which doesn't really lead you into any territory because anyone can take advantage of you when you don't know. So I think that's another great aspect of the book. And as I've mentioned before, the book is divided easily into two sections, one which has to do with the history of humanity, where it came from, extraterrestrials, mm-hmm. and then the other half of the book has to do with the problems that we're facing now on this planet. And the latter half of the book is basically irrefutable because it's all not the words of Lucien Mars or my words, it's the words of your world leaders, your elite, explaining to you what's going to happen. Whereas the earlier part of the book, of course, is subject to interpretation because it's very difficult to prove to somebody which extraterrestrial created human beings. But the beautiful thing about the book is that everything that's in the first half, as outlandish as some of it may appear to certain folks, it all comes uh-huh. together in a way that makes sense. So that I think it sticks in people's craw because of that, because it really does make sense, even if there's no way to prove one way or another.
I agree. That's well said. You were in Las Vegas, Nevada, for that event. Was that 2 months ago now? November, was it?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, Stairway to the Stars was the event.
Yeah. What would you say came of that? What did it do for you and the book? That was kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it was great because on one hand I got booked for Ancient Aliens for next season. We haven't started shooting it yet, but they booked me for that. So that was a great win. But I think what's in some ways even more important is that I was able to videotape the majority of my presentation, and I put it onto YouTube and Rumble. And on Rumble, we're almost at 1 million viewers. And on YouTube, a couple hundred thousand as well. And that's important because a lot of people today, they don't want to read anymore. So if I can get the message out in a condensed and perhaps really entertaining format, they still get the knowledge, and if anything, sure. if they do decide to go on and get the book, they'll have this basic structure so they don't just jump into the book like jumping into the deep end of a swimming pool and saying, what is all this information? So I kind of give this framework in which they can hang things on. So in that respect, Stairway to the Stars in Vegas was a really important event.
You know where that name came from, if I'm not mistaken? It came from that episode in The X-Files. It was that ski resort at the top of the mountain that Scully was abducted from. Stairway to the Stars.
Yeah.
Remember that episode?
That show is going back quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, it was a great show, and there were many things in it that are very relevant today. Doggone, I can't remember the guy's name who played the lead. Steve Railsback.
David Duchovny.
Well, no.
I think it was
Duchovny, yes, but the guy who played the protagonist in that particular, I believe it was a two-episode series, his name was Steve Railsback. Boy, did he do a good job with that. It's just a terrific job. Excellent. So, yeah, that's funny to hear somebody say that The X-Files is going back a while. It is. It's true.
Well, it is. We don't read it, but it actually goes back, what, 20, if not more?
Yeah, 1990, what did it start in, 96? Something like that, I think. And then ran however many years it ran to about 2004, something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was good. That was a really good episode, a couple of them. They really had it dialed in then. And I you know who I had the pleasure of having on the program last night for a visit for an hour? Roy Thinnes. You may not remember this. There was a series called The Invaders in the 1967 period, and he was the star of The Invaders. He was also in several episodes of X-Files, but Roy Thinnes, he's kind of a legend, and it was really fun to talk to him. Good science fiction doesn't age. It really doesn't. The precepts, how it's presented, and if we live long enough and we eventually find out what's in The Last Harvest, which does sound like science fiction to some, we really do come from a universe, I could say galaxy, but whatever, that is more amazing than most people could really imagine. It's so much going on. And we look at this world with little three-dimensional glances, and we're silly. It's so much more than what we see. And most people just don't get that. Not knocking them. They just don't.
Yeah, and I think when you talk about science fiction that ages so well, a prime example of that would be Blade Runner.
Oh, a must viewing. And I haven't seen it since it came out. And then we have The Day the Earth Stood Still. Okay. And we have Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I prefer the original. There's some really classics out there. And for fun, if you're looking for a great film to watch, War of the Worlds, 1954. And Hollywood remade a number of these, and I didn't see the remakes, so many of you listening probably didn't see the originals. But they're still around. You can find them. And you can watch them online. Okay, so where we are right now, in 2024 and The Last Harvest, is where? Where are we? How would you place us in the narrative and the information narrative that is given in the book?
Well, I think that Jordan Peterson said it best recently in an interview when he pointed out that we are already in World War III. And someone on YouTube accused me of being dramatic for saying something like this, but I think that Russia last week declared that they are officially in a state of war, and the official quote from the Kremlin spokesperson named Dmitry Peskov was, yes, at the start it was a special military operation, but as soon as the whole gang, the whole collective West backed Ukraine, it turned into a war for us. And then Russia went on to state that they are preparing 100,000 soldiers for a major offensive as they are, again, quote, at war, unquote. So perhaps the United States is not acknowledging that World War III has begun, but if Russia is acknowledging they're officially at war and that what made it a war was the whole collective West backing the Ukraine, and that's what turned it into a war, then by extension, it already shows that they're viewing it from the lens that they are at war with the rest of us. And that's why they're planning their potential future battles with NATO. That's why you have a lot of countries like Finland and Poland that are all scrambling because they know something's up. As a matter of fact, the Prime Minister of Poland, Donald Tusk, again, funny, sounds very similar to Donald Trump, but it's Donald Tusk. He issued a warning on Friday, and he says that, quote, "I don't want to scare anyone, but war is no longer a concept from the past. It's real, and it started over 2 years ago." And then he went on to say that the next 2 years of the Russia-Ukraine war will be crucial for Europe's future, and says it's the most critical moment since the end of the Second World War. And he is extremely on point about this. It is the most critical moment since the end of the Second World War because it's already the Third World War.
Well, I think Peskov is right. The information coming out of Moscow is generally outstanding compared to what trash we're throwing out all the time. Isn't it bizarre when you look at the white Western Christian world, which is being just demolished as we speak, and you see how communism, Zionism, socialism, whatever ism, they're all isms out of the same evil basket, have taken over the West and turned the West into almost the antithesis of what it was in World War II. We're reversed that now. We don't have a representative government anymore in this country. They don't even pretend to be. They're just running their own show. So we've got real problems here, and I don't see them resolving, frankly. I think that Peskov is right. I think World War III has already started. How much will it escalate? I kind of think it has to do with the international moneyed elite. And if they want a nuclear war, they'll have a nuclear war. I think that's a given. It's all controlled. That's me, not you. I'm just talking. But that's how I see it.
Right. Well, I think when we talk about not having a representative government anymore, it's certainly going to get worse because, of course, what is behind the right wing, specifically Trump, is this Project 2025 idea, which is that there's a movement to replace the Constitution with a Christian fascist dictatorship. And this is an example.
Tell me more about this, Damien. I'm not up to speed on that. What is this again?
Well, there's this big movement out there called Project 2025, and you can get it online. It's about an 800-page document produced by these right-wing and Christian think tanks that outlines in great detail how they plan to take over the United States government through a political candidate who would become, let's say, president, and then they were going to make certain changes to make the executive branch incredibly powerful, diminish the roles of the legislative and judicial branches, and then bring about a Christian theocracy, which goes against the whole constitutional idea of a separation between church and state. And one of the motivating factors behind Project 2025 was this idea among certain Christians that Israel can no longer be considered a holy land because they killed Jesus, and therefore the idea was to turn America into a type of holy land by producing a Christian theocracy. And if all this sounds outrageous to people, it's really not. And you can go online and easily, within seconds in Google, find this 800-page document. And what's so terrifying about it is most of the Republican candidates are behind it, and Trump is totally behind this idea. And, of course, one can understand the interest he would have in such a thing, because it would essentially turn him as a president into a dictator. And we have a situation where last week, where Trump, during a rally, mentioned that if he doesn't get elected, that there's going to be a bloodbath and that there will never be another election in this country.
Yeah, I got that.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of whatever people want to say, let's say, about Biden and his son-in-law and their drug use and hooker hobbies and this and that, we still have to realize that Biden is not promising a bloodbath if he doesn't get elected, or saying there won't be another election in this country should he not.
Well, we'll get Damien right back. I'll remember where we were. I read that Trump quote of a bloodbath, not in a literal sense. I think he was talking figuratively. Politically, big trouble. This is interesting. I wonder who's behind this. It sounds like the Heritage Foundation kind of a thing. Maybe it is. Oh, it is. The ambitions of a second Trump term are clearly thoroughly outlined in Mandate for Leadership, The Conservative Promise, a 920-page book published by the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025. It should thrill conservatives and terrify liberals. It should terrify communists, for sure. Well, interesting. I honestly didn't know about this. I'd heard somebody mention it, but I haven't been able to get into it. Let's see. Project 2025 advocates. I'm sure some of you don't know much about it either. Let me just read this one paragraph and get right back. Are you there, Damien?
Yeah, I got dropped, and I'm back. And I want to mention something here. This is very important because I was just corrected by your sound tech. He says that Trump promising a bloodbath is incorrect, and it was taken out of context, and this is not the case. And anyone can review what he said, and it's very clear that he is not talking about a bloodbath in the auto industry, but rather he said that what's going on in the auto industry will be the least of the problems because it's going to be a bloodbath. And then he followed it up afterwards by stating that if he doesn't get elected, there will not be another election, which ties in with bloodbath.
I saw
Civil
that.
War.
Was he using a bloodbath in the sense, figurative sense, as a geopolitical bloodbath? In other words, our country, our constitution is going to be really a mess. Was that how he was using it?
Well, sure, of course. If there's a civil war, then of course those things would be true.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, is he talking about? I suspected the Heritage Foundation might be behind this thing, and they are. They published the book, The Conservative Promise, Mandate for Leadership. All right. Well, I'm watching this very carefully now. I will watch it. It's relatively new to me. It's been around, I guess, for about a week and a half, 2 weeks now, but it's there. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Project 2025 has been brewing for a long time, and it's something anyone who believes in the Constitution and in the separation of church and state should definitely take note of this.
yes, absolutely. Project 2025 advocates disbanding various bureaucratic offices related to renewable energy and climate science. Among them, the Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy, the Loan Program Office, the Clean Energy Corps, the Grid Deployment Office, and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The Project 2025 document says, quote, government should not be picking winners and losers in dealing with energy resources or commercial technology, including one of the right's favorite tropes about incubating nascent technology. And it doesn't stop there, it says. A little bit more. The new energy crisis is caused by not a lack of resources, but by extreme green policies, the report chides. All right, well, this is a has the potential to really balloon into something big. And if the Heritage Foundation is one of the visible forces behind this whole movement, I wouldn't dismiss it easily at all. This is big, 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 big. Somebody's been doing a lot of thinking for quite a while. They
right.
didn't just whip this thing together. No.
It's 800 plus pages.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Well, I hope that it isn't tied in, and I hope the QAnon people don't begin getting involved, because the QAnon was one of the biggest psyops I've ever seen in 40 years of journalism. It just is. It's crazy. And very little of it ever came to pass. People just embraced it, broadcast it, talked about it, repeated it, and nothing came of it. Remember all the talk about, you probably heard some of these things, that Guantanamo...
Trump the plan. Was,
yeah. That Guantanamo was going to be the site of all kinds of military tribunals, and some of the Q people are saying that there have already been executions there, and it's crazy. This is crazy.
Well,
they had
the funny thing is that I remember a lot of MAGA people I knew back in New York City who were talking about how Trump right now has these special operations units freeing trafficked children from underneath the secret tunnels in the planet. I'm like, but Trump's been on Epstein's flight logs more times than anybody else. I mean, Trump and Epstein, they hung out together in New York. I know where they used to hang out. And it's like, how do you, on one hand, say that he's rescuing trafficked children, and on the other hand, he's hanging out with Epstein? It doesn't make sense.
You're 100% right. And I have no need for Trump at all. I watched him for 4 years do essentially nothing but make some of the most horrible appointments that just kept him in lockstep with the controllers. Same old stuff, nothing new. All right, hold on a second. We'll be right back with Damian Dumas and the book, The Last Harvest. All right, welcome back. Glad to have you along on this Friday night. Damian Dumas is here, and the remarkable book, The Last Harvest. You can find it right on the homepage there. The banner is right there. You click on it and get yourself a book that you may not agree with everything in it, but you won't forget it. That's for sure. This whole Project 2025 thing is obviously geared toward Trump and the Trump second term. No question. It's Heritage Foundation is a big part of this. Has to do a lot with the MAGA movement and so forth. But it does seem to be kind of trying to distill itself down, from what I've been reading in the last 5 minutes, to pro-green movement or anti-green movement. In other words, anti-electric vehicles, a lot of stuff that doesn't seem to work. That they keep calling things fossil fuels, though. We have no fossil fuels on this planet or in this planet. There is petroleum. It's geopolitically, geopolitics. I guess you always talk about petroleum as being what? Fossil fuels. And it's always bothered me. It's abiotic oil. It's produced naturally, constantly by the earth. Think of it as the earth's blood. It's produced under the ground and pushed up toward the surface, where it pools together in oil fields, right? Large oil deposits. And that's proven by oil fields that go essentially dry, and people go away for 10, 15 years, and they come back, and the oil field's full. So there's an endless supply of petroleum here. Now, petroleum, as it pertains to pharmacology, all the majors with all of the different chemical compounds in them, not good, not made for human ingestion. But it's certainly a reasonable way to propel the energy needs of the country. I'm not a proponent of nuclear energy. Now, some of these people are. Maybe this Heritage Foundation group, Project 2025, wants to bring back, in a bigger way, a new form, a refined form of thermonuclear power. Is that true? Do you know anything about that?
Well, there are certainly, in an 800-page document, they're going to attempt to cover a very broad range of topics. But
sure,
the essence of it has to do with altering our government drastically, taking it very far away from the direction that the founding fathers
intended. Damien, excuse me. Are they talking about a con-con
sure.
here? Are they talking about a con-con?
I'm
constitutional
not sure what a
convention?
Con-con is.
Constitutional convention. Yeah.
Well, I don't think there are going to be any constitutional conventions once they bring in a Christian theocracy.
Interesting. Oh, that's this is new to me. Like I say, I'd heard it mentioned, but I hadn't really dove into it. I'll be watching. It's all tied into Trump. Now, are they going to successfully install Trump or not? What do you think? And I mean install, because the elections are so damn corrupt now. It's like who has more money.
That's really hard to say. I can tell you that if Trump gets elected or gets installed or however you wish to phrase it, that the events of the last harvest will accelerate. Whereas if Biden gets installed or elected, it will be a little bit slower. The outcome of the last harvest is the same either way, but with Trump, it will go even faster.
Interesting. I honestly do not. I don't. How can this man with clear dementia, and he's getting worse, go back and look at him a year or two and three in videos and you'll see. How can he even run? Now, I don't want the camel involved in anything. We got that. But this is we have no choices. I wouldn't vote for Biden, Trump, or Kennedy on a bet. No way. Kennedy has just picked a socialist, communist, globalist for his running mate. Come on. And his name is in the Epstein papers, apparently, the documents. So is Trump.
One of the things that really dooms America, or damns it, for lack of a better word, is the constant support.
I like that. I like it too.
And the problem is the constant support of the state of Israel, which it doesn't matter whether it's Biden or Trump. There's a big problem when the United States is supporting Israel, because the land of Israel, the Middle East, is the site of all the Battle of Armageddon that occurs in the book of Revelation, and the land that's there was cursed by Jesus in the Bible along with the Jewish people. So after Jesus was crucified, that's when Rome finished off what was at the time would have been the state of Israel, for lack of a better word, dispersed the people from there. So, as now that the Jewish people are back on that land, which was a land nobody should be on because it's cursed, the only thing that can result from there is warfare. So now we have Israel engaging in what is effectively genocide, and the United States is supporting it, saying, oh, yes, here's weaponry.
Damien, we're underwriting and paying for all of it. We are the bank. They are simply making withdrawal after withdrawal, and they don't pay back. Don't forget that.
And I'm not trying to promote an anti-Semitic narrative or dialogue here. I'm just pointing out facts that are in the Bible, that this land was cursed, these people were cursed, and that this United States is supporting a country that is in a land and a people that are cursed. Just use common sense. How could that benefit the fortune of America? The answer is it doesn't. It leads America into damnation. So this is one of the big underlying problems that will make sure the events of the last harvest come to fruition. It's just that if Trump gets elected, it'll accelerate even faster than were it Biden or somebody else.
Are we going to end up in we're going to end up in the same place, aren't we? Aren't we going to end up in the same place sooner or later?
We certainly will. We certainly will.
It just depends on which road you want to take, I guess.
Slow route or the quick route?
That's correct. I don't see us being handed a slate of real choices here. I'm to the point now where I think anybody seeking higher public office should be barred from it. I think the motivation is wrong in most cases. Oh, they talk a good game, but seriously, this country was finished when they murdered John Kennedy. That was the last president we had. He wanted to stand up and demand inspections of Dimona in Israel. And Ben-Gurion said, no, not going to happen. And they killed him. That was the primary reason, in my view. He did not want the Israelis going nuclear. They stole so much plutonium from us after they killed Kennedy. They stocked their larders forever. They're loaded. They've got hundreds and hundreds of nuclear weapons. They have the Samson option, which is quite simple. Look it up, the Samson option. If Israel is in danger of being destroyed and imminently facing that danger, they're going to nuke everybody, basically. Certainly all of Europe and Russia, whatever. This is a bad thing. It's not good. None of it's good. We've really gotten into a terrible place. What did we learn in the last century? World War I, what did that teach us? Don't be unjust to the people that allegedly lose because you're going to have to fight them again. World War II, what did we learn from that? Nothing. You go right on from there. America is now the great evil on the planet. We have almost 400,000 troops in over 150 countries all around the world. Most of them are doing the work of the intel community to one degree or another. They should be home guarding the border. Whoever is allegedly in charge here has destroyed the border. That's all by intent. None of this happened accidentally. We need to face this straight away.
You know, Jeff, I'm glad you say all this because I have some other very interesting information for your audience. So,
if you think
2025 is right around the corner, well, April 8, 2024 is just a little over a week from now. I think it's like 9 days, and there's going to be a comet passing an area in America called Little Egypt in Illinois. The comet is 12 Ponds Brooks, which is otherwise known as the Devil's Comet. So the question some people would ask is, well, why is it known as the Devil's Comet? And it's because right now, on the date of April 8th, in the jungles of Haiti, in the Fern Valley, to be specific, in the Forest of Shamans, there's going to be a ritual going on called Askutum Hazar. And in that ritual, the devil invokes and sends his emissary into America, who is the goddess of misfortune, whose name is Osri. And so Osri is targeted for America. Why is Osri coming to America? Because, as you said, America has become the great evil, or the beast. And this ties in with what I said earlier about America supporting that which it should not support. Now, some people would say, wow, what are you talking about? I never heard of all this. Well, okay. Nostradamus, actually, in one of his quatrains, he says, quote, Mabus, that meaning the Pope, will soon die, and there will happen a dreadful destruction of people and animals. There will be sudden vengeance. 100 hands of blood will cause thirst and hunger when the comet passes. Now, some people would say, well, maybe he's talking about Halley's Comet, but the next passage would be in 2062. So what we're looking at basically here is the Devil's Comet on April 8th, 2024. And for some people who say, well, what did Nostradamus know? Allow me to give you another quatrain where he says, the false message about the rigged election to run through the city, canceling the broken pact, voices bought, a chapel stained with blood, the empire contracts to one another. And of course, there is a chapel directly connected to the U.S. Capitol, which was directly stained with blood during the uprising in Washington. And what was it about? The false message about the rigged election. So some people would say, well, where are you getting this from? Well, again, not my words, not Lucien Mars' words. These are the words of Nostradamus. These are the words from the Bible. People can do whatever they want with them. They can disagree. That's fine. But I'm just presenting it to everyone that, look, there's something going on here.
Oh, yes, there is. Yeah. Now, that Devil's Comet is only 3 days after the eclipse on the 5th.
Correct.
That's kind of interesting timing, too. I don't like to read too much into these things. I've seen too many forecasts involving celestial events and occurrences which never add up to anything. Never. Think back, all of you, of all the things that we've come across and been presented with over the decades in this radio program and in our recent history. How many predictions have actually come to pass on the day or the time slot they were supposed to? I can't think of one. And some of them get a lot of ink. So don't worry about that. But Anyway, the Devil's Comet. Interesting. I didn't know about that.
Yes.
They really ought to change the pronunciation or the spelling of Halley's Comet. It's actually Halley's Comet. But everyone says Halley's Comet. It's H-A-L-L-E-Y, I think. And they pronounce it H-A-I-L-E-Y. It's Halley. But whatever. It won't be here.
American pronunciation.
Yeah.
So it will be long gone.
The future of America, either by the slow road or the fast road, is what? Don't give the book away, but where are we headed? We've got
such as the future of America.
Let me say one other thing. Hold on.
Sure.
One other thing. We've got about 80% of 325 million people injected. Shedding has brought an awful lot more under the same umbrella rubric of being vaxxed or contaminated with spike. We've got a lot of people who are on the way out. Their lives have been shortened. Many have already died. This is not a good situation right now. And that's just one aspect. So where are we going ultimately? What's the future? According to the prism of the last harvest, what's happening here? Where are we going to be in 20 years, 25 years, if we make it that long?
It's not just America, it's the whole world that will be
correct.
Going down the drain.
Correct.
So, yeah.
And is it a fact that this genocide ties into that very thing you just mentioned, that the planet is being taken down? How do you take a planet down? Well, you diminish its dominant life force. You know, whatever species happens to be running it, you take them out. That's what's being done here. The population reduction here is horrific. And if you think that the survivors are going to somehow recover from their injuries and repopulate or raise the birth rate, give it up. One of the primary targets of this horrible bioweapon was the human reproductive system. And that reproductive system is now ruined. We're not reproducing. You're going to see a lot here happen. Not good. Go ahead, Damien. Go ahead.
I know there were some jokes after the pandemic where people were saying, "Well, I'm not vaccinated. Does anyone want my to reproduce with me?" It was like a new pickup line.
Oh yeah, I know. I know. All right. So if you were to look at things right now, and you know, weave in Nostradamus to this, is the alleged conservative side of the political agenda in this country strong enough to install Trump? We know that Biden did not get more votes than any other presidential candidate in American history. He did not get 83 million votes. He did not. It's a joke to even think that. So we have now 13 million illegals in since Biden was allowed to assume an illegal office. He didn't win it. And the American people accepted it. We've got 13 million now, 98% of which will vote liberal communist, right, if they're asked to vote. And they're being given carte blanche to vote. Nobody's trying to keep them away from the ballots. This is not going to be a pretty sight. We do have a possibility of a civil war here, a bloody civil war. I'm not talking bloodbath here. I'm just talking about a civil war. Yeah, but your thoughts on that?
Yeah, a civil war is definitely not out of the picture. As a matter of fact, it's very likely because even if Trump does not get elected, the act of him losing an election could, in fact, trigger a civil war. And then once that cat's out of the bag, it's not going back in. So I think this ties in with many events. I think it also ties in with the arrival of Azri after April 8th, because when you're a goddess of misfortune, a civil war is a great party to attend. Would you not agree?
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. We've really, if you watch the big picture, the Ukraine war, how much of our munitions and hardware we've shipped over there that's been blown to pieces and otherwise expended on the battlefield. Europe has largely been disarmed as well. I call it American disarmament. That's what's happened here. We're 5 years behind in tank and artillery round production right now, 5 years, and about that same length of time in surface-to-air missiles. These are man pads. They're launched from the ground by people, and they can take out planes and jets and helicopters. We're years and years behind. We have sent so much material over there. It's kind of like we cleared inventory to get ready for the next round of production. And the military-industrial complex is quite happy. The Russian military-industrial complex is ecstatic. They're working around the clock. They've tripled production in tanks and armaments, all kinds of things. So they're booming over there. There's money in war.
The same thing happened in World War II. The weapons manufacturers were ecstatic.
Yes, of course. Of course. They love it. That's one of the prime reasons we have wars. There's no question about that. So we're actually overdue for another war. What's going on right now can be called, I think, legitimately World War III in its early, early, early stages.
How much worse
it gets, I don't know, but I have never seen more provocative military political activity aimed at anybody to try to get them to go to war than what we're doing, what the West is doing, not us, to Russia. I've never seen anything like it. Never. It's so blatant. I don't know how long their patience will last. Don't know. Pay attention to Peskov and Maria Zakharova. She's very good as well. Listen very carefully to Lavrov. Listen to Putin. Listen to their words. Putin every Thursday has a kind of an open, free-running press get-together. Listen to those talks he gives. They're very informative. He doesn't play games. I'm not saying he's perfect. Nobody is. But you get a lot more truth out of the Russian government than you do out of this one.
Well, I think the one thing that that Trump, Putin, and Netanyahu have in common is that they're all criminals facing indictments and in a very similar walking in lockstep in that regard.
Well, let's take it another step further. They're all three controlled by international Zionist Jewish money. Big power, big money. The Zionist oligarchs in Russia, the military-industrial complex here, which, look, the Zionist bankers own Trump. They bailed him out. They've given him huge amounts of money. He's an owned commodity. He's not a free man. And Biden, the guy is so criminally corrupt, it's a laugh. If he steps out of line, they'll just hoist him up the lamppost. That'll be the end of him. So he's playing ball, what's left of him to play anything, which isn't a whole lot. You know who's another baddie? Is his wife, Jill. Read up about her sometime. She's another dark one. I don't like any of them. Not good. All right, so The Last Harvest, is that the last war? Can we conflate that into something else? The last what? What would that be? The Last Harvest? The Last Human Harvest? The last...
Yeah, I think the last harvesting of humanity is the most apt description, right? Because that's effectively what it is, or whether they're going to be harvested through warfare, through viral vectors, through starvation, through an alien invasion, it won't matter in the end because this will all be harvested.
Yeah, agreed. A couple of minutes to go. AI and its exploding dominance already, and we haven't seen anything yet. Where will AI be in another year or two? What do you think? I mean, we're watching this by the week now because the improvements in whatever it's doing are almost uniformly spectacular. It's stunning what's happening with that. AI.
Well, I think that AI can only go in one direction, and that is advance itself more and more. The question is to the detriment of humanity or not, and of course it's going to be to the detriment, because what else would it be? I think I saw a clip of Joe Rogan the other day, and he was talking about how, you know, if you really think about it, Elon Musk putting a chip into your head, isn't that the mark of the beast? I thought it was a very apropos observation.
There are a lot of parallels with that old axiom. Some people can suggest that the cell phone in the hand is the mark of the beast. It's all tech, and it's not good because it's being proffered by the wrong people. These people are not particularly interested in our well-being, our welfare, none of it. Same group, always the same group. Look at the owners of the corporations, always the same people. Damien, thank you for being here and sharing your views, as always. It remains one of the most remarkable books, The Last Harvest, and you're a great spokesman for it, so thank you. All right. There we go. We will be back Monday. That's an optimistic view. We hope to be back Monday. I don't know. You just never know what they are going to do. We can make our best guesses, but that's about all we can do. Have a good weekend. Do some preparing. Do some thinking. Don't just sit back and let things happen. Make things happen. Talk soon. Take care.